Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Hello, everybody. It is good to be back talking Brewers baseball with you live on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. What a first two games to react to, huh? My goodness, the Rhys Hoskins signing continues to grow its legend every single day. The Brewers are 2-0. They win today 7-6 over the New York Mets. They have won the first series of the year, and on Easter Sunday, they will be going for the sweep. Wow, there's a lot to get to. Craig Kishon will be joining us. Don't worry, plenty to react to with Rhys, with this team, with D.L. Hall's debut, with yesterday's game as well. We are going to chop that up, I promise. But let's get you caught up to speed in case you didn't catch the entire game. Here are the three biggest plays, in my eyes, that you need to be ready for. First and foremost, after everything that went down yesterday, did he slide late? Did he slide legally? Was Jeff McNeil actually angry? All that stuff. Rhys Hoskins gets a chance to respond in the bottom of the first inning, or rather the top of the first inning, at Citi Field today with a couple of men on.
Severino's first pitch. Ground ball past the bag at third and off the tarp and kicks into left. Yelich is home. Here comes Adamas. He will score. Rhys Hoskins with a two-run single and the Brewers lead it 3-0.
Boom, right off the bat, Lane Grindle on the call here on WTMJ. How do you shut up the other team after they gave you the boo birds? You just send a single down the line to score a pair. They don't boo nobodies. Remember that. They do not boo nobodies. Rhys wasn't done. In fact, in two innings, he would finally connect. Not finally, it's the second game, Dom. He would connect on his first Brewer homer.
Severino's 2-2. Hit deep, deep to left field. Backing up, Nimmo turning, watching it sail. Goodbye! Rhys Hoskins has made a statement at Citi Field.
Josh Maurer, great call once again. That made it 5-1 at the time with the Brewers in front. They were in total command of this game. Obviously, things got tight late. We'll talk about the bullpen, what went wrong for Bryce and for Hobie today. But if you missed the fireworks, here's what it sounded like. We fast forward now to the seventh inning. Man on first, one out. Again, the game is still in jeopardy at this point. It's 5-2. It's still very much a ball game. The Brewers had not added any more insurance, or rather 6-2 at this point, had not added more insurance, and they're trying to add more. Yohan Ramirez, he's been a bit of a journeyman in the minor leagues. I will say he is known for command problems. No excuse for what went down.
The pitch. Whoa, over his head to the backstop on the fly. Up to second goes Adamas. Hoskins drops the bat, puts his hands on his hips, and stares at Yohan Ramirez, who walks towards him. Ramirez then says some words to Rhys. The benches have not cleared as yet, but the pitcher and the batter came almost face-to-face right in front of the batter's box, and here comes Pat Murphy out of the Brewers dugout. He wants Yohan Ramirez ejected from this game. And the umpires say, hold on, Skipper, we're going to talk about this.
And they did talk about this, and it ended up ejecting Yohan Ramirez. I'm still confused why Carlos Mendoza was not ejected. I guess warnings weren't technically issued live. Everybody in the ballpark knew there were virtual warnings. I mean, you're an idiot if you didn't know what was coming today of what went down. And being able to be in the position that I'm in, hearing all of the broadcasts, I went and checked in on SNY. Of course, Gary, Keith, and Ron, one of the best booths in baseball. Ron Darling made the point very clear, and I thought he put it very well. The message was 2 hours late. You can't try to hit a guy after he's already beat your brains in, after he's already 3-for-3 with a homer, right? It was 2 hours too late. I thought Ron Darling put that perfectly. Now, we'll get into this with Craig Kishon. Like, well, do you throw at him with Severino? I disagreed a little bit with Ron on, well, yeah, Severino should have brushed him back. I don't know if they would have done that. I was expecting this to all kind of bubble over tomorrow. But, hey, it is what it is. The Brewers get the W, a 7-6 final score today. So those are the three most important plays you need to know. It was the Rhys Hoskins day. No need for a player of the game poll. It's Rhys Hoskins, to say the least. Let me get to a few texts. If you want to join the program here this season, save this number in your phone if you're listening live. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Easy to remember, 620 right there at the end. Save that in your phone, WTMJ talking text line. I would love to have you to participate in the show all season long. So let's get to a few texts. Say your name, where you're from, and I'll make sure to shout you out here on the air. This one from the 608 area code. People who pick the Brewers for last are crazy. This lineup has really improved and can't wait to see Uribe and Williams back to back. Good luck. Yeah, I got a lot to react to with Abner Uribe today. He showed off the holster, and he has been told to be careful with that holster a little bit. More on that a little bit later. A little bit later on in the program. This one, takeaway number one. This one's from the 727 area code. We have a fire and aren't going to get bullied. If this is how we are with the Mets, imagine how we'll be with the Cubs and the Cardinals. And it adds the Italian fingers, you know, the great flavor emoji. I like that. I really do appreciate that text. This one from Mason and Stevens Point. Follow along with your live tweeting, and of course, my favorite Brewers show. I have to say, there's something fun about this team. So fresh about Yelly and Adames this season. I could not stop smiling watching them play. I agree. There is some energy. There is some juice right now. And here are my three big takeaways, and I want to break this down with Craig once his television duties are over with. My three takeaways from these first two games. Rhys is bringing a presence exactly how the Brewers expected this to go, or at least hoped it would go. When you go get a veteran, bona fide slugger like that, he has done it in the World Series, he has been on a big market team, he knows what it takes, and he has already brought a presence. Obviously, he's in the middle of all of it with the slide, but aside from that, he gives a punch. I mean, he batted sixth today and went 3-for-4. I know they like Jake Bowers in the five spot to kind of be protected by Rhys Hoskins in that regard. I digress. He had a great day, obviously, to follow up getting booed, having the slide, having Jeff McNeil yell in his face. And furthermore, the professionalism to not fight back. It was really impressive to keep his composure in both scenarios. Think about it yesterday. He just let Jeff McNeil shout in his face, then ran back to the dugout. Today, Johan Ramirez throws at his ear, and he just stands there and said, come on, that's messed up, man. He looked at the umpire. Umpire got in the middle of it, and now he's not going to be suspended in all of this. He's an innocent party in all of this. He kept his composure. Johan's going to miss a game, probably. Jeff McNeil continues to shout from the rafters, and I just don't get it. My second big takeaway is this team is taking after its manager, Pat Murphy. This is not meant to be a dig on Craig Counsell, but the way I see it, Pat Murphy, we've known, is an intense, to-the-point, detail-oriented guy. But there's a little bit of an edge. There's a little bit of a needle. There's a little bit of a, you know, we know him as a smack talker. We know him that he commands, you know, excellence. He commands the team to play to its potential. And so far, I've seen an edge. Everyone doing their role. Look at yesterday, calling on Bryce Terang off the bench, drops down a perfect bunt, and then the Mets mess it up, and he gets a base hit of it. Jake Bowers yesterday off the bench. Hey, I need you to get a knock. He gets a knock, gets a double. Joey Ortiz nearly made a fantastic play at third base today, coming off the bench to play defense. They are taking after their manager in the first two games of the year. No worry about that transition for me. And finally, my goodness, speaking of the defense, they're seriously going to pick it once again. Bryce Terang, I cannot stop smiling watching him play defense. It is so much fun. He made a couple of nice plays today. Joey Ortiz, we mentioned, nearly made the great play there in the eighth inning. And I look at this outfield right now with Churio in right, Frelick in center, and Yelly in left. Yelly had an outfield assist today. Was it the hardest throw of his life? No, but he played the carom perfectly. He got old foe Harrison Bader. I love it. I think this team is going to be just as good, if not better, defensively year over year. As we wait on Craig Kishon to join us here again, join us 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us, you can tweet me as well at Dom_Cotroneo. That's spelled C-O-T-R-O-N-E-O, Cotroneo. So I'll get to your comments. I'll get to the fan reaction here today. I really think this one's all about the fans today. Brewers win 7-6. We are just getting rolling with our first show of the season. It's all brought to you by Fifth Third Bank with a local Milwaukee team. Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities. It's going to help your business succeed. Commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. We're back, baby. Let's get this show on the road, shall we? Let's talk more about Reese, unspoken rules of baseball. We'll talk about the performance. We'll get down the box score as well. Stay with us. Just rolling. Brewers Extra Innings on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Welcome back to Brewers Extra Innings.
Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Craig Kishon joining us in just a moment here on WTMJ to break down the Brewers' second win of the season. A perfect 2-0 to start the year. They defeat the Mets again, 7-6. Let's go ahead and go down the box score here, shall we? I want to spend some time looking at things here, and this is when we'll welcome in Craig here shortly as well. But looking down the lineup here today, Frelick got his first start of the season today. Frelick went 1-for-5. He had a run scored. Quiet day for him, a strikeout to open the game, but then put the ball in play in the rest of his times at bat. Also, flawless center field. No qualms about what happened to him out there in center. Good starting point. Remember, he is not truly a center fielder really at the big league level. He's played a little bit of center the last season, but the Brewers ultimately view him as a corner outfielder and maybe even a third baseman one day if that experiment isn't dead with Oliver Dunn making his big league debut today. Speaking of Oliver Dunn, congratulations to Ollie. He got his first big league hit as well. So 1-for-4 today for Oliver Dunn, the kid from Salt Lake City. He had the family in attendance, a clean single off the bag at first. It ricocheted. It might have been a double if it got over the bag. But nonetheless, Oliver Dunn is officially in the box score and has his own page on Baseball Reference. It is bold because he is a big leaguer. Another guy I want to shout out on this box score because can easily get lost in the shuffle, Elvis Piguero. Elvis Piguero earns the win today, and, you know, the pitcher win, especially for a reliever, isn't that big of a deal, but 2 innings, 6 up, 6 down, 4 ground outs, he threw a disgusting sinker that broke 2 feet, yes, 2 feet, 24 inches of horizontal movement to old friend Tyrone Taylor. No strikeouts. He's not necessarily a strikeout guy, but 97-mile-an-hour sinkers with nasty, nasty movement. I'm really excited to see him, and somebody had quoted that video that I had tweeted saying, thank you, Angels and Hunter Renfro, because I remember a lot of folks were not fans of that trade. Like, wait, why are you getting rid of Hunter Renfro? He was one of the biggest home run hitters a year ago. And then, well, they got Elvis Piguero and two other arms, including Jansen Junk and Adam Seminaros. We might see Jansen Junk at some point this season as well. But Elvis Piguero going to be a big piece of this bullpen moving forward. Let me get to Twitter here. Let me get to a few responses so far from our takeaway conversation. This one from Joseph. The offense will be more fun to watch. I agree. I think the offense, to say the least, is added some reinforcement with Reese Hoskins and Gary Sanchez, but there's a variety of ways to score runs, right? Jackson Churio's batting ninth against righties, and you've got guys available off the bench like Gary Sanchez. Maybe you'll have Jake Bowers available off the bench because most days Reese will be playing first base. And then you've got a guy like Bryce Terang who can steal 3 bags in a game. He did that for the first time in his career today. Stole a base 3 times. How many bases is Bryce Terang going to steal this season? He was in the mid-20s last year, and let's be honest, Bryce was barely on base. If the Brewers believe in his change in approach and what he's able to do, Bryce Terang today batting 8th, on base twice with a pair of singles, and stole 3 bags. Now, he didn't score, but nonetheless, if he's going to get over 30, 40 stolen bases, that means more opportunities for Churio and Frelick and eventually Mitchell once they get back to the top of the lineup and get things rolling in the right direction for the Brewers' offense. This one from Nate definitely seems like the team has a chip on the collective shoulder here early. I agree. I kind of what I was saying earlier with the taking after their manager and, you know, take no bleep attitude and see what you can, I don't know if I want to say poke the bear, because that's what the Mets have been doing to Rhys Hoskins, and they got bit by the bear today. But the point is that, hey, if you've got it, flaunt it and be confident in your abilities. That's how I'm feeling about this team. And let's also hit the brakes here for a second. It's two games, okay? Don't plan the parade. It's all good. It's a great start. Love to see it. Winning a series is great on the road, no matter who you're playing, especially when it's the New York Mets. When I see this team, when I see this roster starting to show their versatility, the mix and match, the manager hitting the right levers like yesterday with the bunts and the pinch hits, that's going to start to snowball. That's going to start to create, okay, well, I know I'm not in the starting lineup today, but I could get tapped on at some point and say, hey, you know, Dom, we need you to come on and get a knock today. You know, that sort of thing could certainly be happening later in the season. Another couple of thoughts here as well. My favorite gif here, that was a response on the Christian Yelich outfield assist. It's, if you're familiar with Happy Gilmore, this one from Kyle. It's, Happy learned how to putt. Now Christian knows how to throw, but that's been a point of emphasis the last couple of years with Christian Yelich developing the arm and getting things going in the right direction. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. If you want to join us, you can tweet me as well at Dom_Catronio. Take a breather, and when we come back, Craig Kishon will be with us on the other side of this break on your home of the Brewers.
This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Now the 2-1. Line drive to left field. Yelich goes back on it. Yelich has it go over his head. It hits about halfway up the fence. Good throw to second by Yelich. Tag applied on Bader and out. Yelich got it on the fly to Bryce Terang.
One of the highlights of today's game, certainly defensively, to say the least. What a day for Yelich. He did not have a single outfield assist all of last year, and now he's got one in the second game of the season. Dom Catronio with you. Craig Kishon joining us in just a moment as well. 855-616-1620. This one from Tomas in Maquanago. Brewers vets are leading the way. Pitchers are stepping up their game, keeping their heads cool. Oh, wow, the last part there, I don't know about Abner Uribe. There's certainly something to talk about with the pistol celebration. Kurt Hoag was tweeting about it with our friends over at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about he's been told to maybe cool that off. Now, after everything that went down today and everything that went down with Rhys Hoskins and that sort of thing, that might be something to keep an eye on. Right now, I'm getting ready to welcome in Craig as he's throwing on the headset. We're going to be getting the video fired up here as well on YouTube, as make sure that Craig Kishon's got the headset. And you good to go, buddy?
I'm here.
Awesome, man. Congratulations.
Oh, gosh,
good to
I didn't
see
know
it.
We were on TV.
We're on TV. You're on TV. You
wow.
Can't leave. You can't escape.
I would have put a tie on.
Oh, man. I'm wearing a hoodie. Don't give me that. You can't big league me like that.
Little tie. I need some makeup.
Oh, geez.
Got
here we go.
Got the receding hairline going still here.
Don't talk to me about hairlines, man. Come on. That's a low blow. Craig Kishon, the one and only joining us now for the first time this season. First of all, welcome back. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, buddy. Good to be back with you here. Good start to the year.
What a start. I think now that I've got you here, we got to talk about Rhys. We got to talk about the last 2 days. We got to talk about the fact that he can keep his composure, the fact that Jeff McNeil seems to be on it. I mean, there's a lot of ways I want to get into this, but first and foremost, the most basic question I have in your eyes, the slide. Legal, illegal, dirty, what did you see?
Well, by the letter of the law, I saw a legal slide. I don't know if I would have done that. It was a little bit late, I think, in most people's eyes. I get that. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You got to have somebody leading the way and play tough-skinned baseball and put on the big boy pants and go out there. This is a really young club. I'm sure, you know, you've talked about this, you know, throughout your show yesterday a little bit. But here's the thing. You got to have a veteran going out there leading the way. The slide itself was perfectly legal. I don't want to ever see guys get hurt, as much as I don't want to see guys get hurt when they're being thrown at the plate either. Mm-hmm. So there's a little more freedom to do that than there is for what's happening out on the bases here right now. But we can't play baseball without it being played the right way, and we can't protect players from getting hurt every base you take, every corner you turn, every swing you make. I mean, so by the letter of the law, baseball says, yes, there still is going to be contact sometimes, and that was one of the sometimes. We've seen far less of it with the new rule in place, but that was one of the times where you're going to see contact, and sorry that McNeil got upset. It was kind of absurd. He got so upset because none of his teammates did, but right. He was also the one that got his ankle taken out a little bit. So.
I can understand the fear of injury and the fear. And remember, this rule was instituted because of a Mets player getting taken out. So, I mean, they as an organization, now I'm not saying McNeil was, you know, the root of this, but remember Tejada back in the playoffs, I believe it was 2018, right, in the DS before the Brewers saw Chase Utley and that Dodger team, was the dirty slide that led to the rule breaking Tejada's leg and all that fun stuff. But in my eyes, I'm with you. In the moment, I was, oh, man, that was kind of late, was it? But I never said that was a dirty slide. I never said, oh, his spikes were high. I never said, oh, he was trying to injure a guy.
I agree with you. I think that's the key. He wasn't trying to injure the guy.
Yeah.
He barely made an effort to take him out, to be honest with you.
It in my eyes, like, I was trying to shift it. All right, let's say, like, a little tweener up the first baseline, okay? And if it's Pete Alonso running down there to field that baseball versus, you know, let's just say another big guy, let's just say Reese, okay? You got two heavyweights, you know, two trains coming at each other. There's going to be contact there because the ball's on the line. You got to jump out of the way. You can't not expect contact on a double play ball. And furthermore, I think McNeil was trying to find a cop-out for his terrible footwork. He just thought, all right, I'm sanctuary. I'm safe on the bag. And as you said, it was legal. It was fine. I don't understand why he was so mad about it, because he had a whole lane to jump out of the way and throw. They weren't going to turn to. He obviously dropped the baseball. But jump out of the way. Show me that you know how to play big league second base. That's the first lesson you're taught in you know, little rookie league ball. Like, get out of the way. Like, there's a guy sliding, get out of the way and try to find a way to turn a double play.
I don't remember the last time that I saw somebody try to not just steal the spotlight. I don't think it was much about that, but call attention to something that really didn't need it at all. And to throw the fit that he did and continue to throw the fit, the fact that that bullpens came out and the benches came out over that was pretty stunning to me. And it, you know, I want to see less of that in baseball, that's for sure. I want to see good, hard playing, mm-hmm. and that's what we saw in that play, and less of the whining. I think one of the best things that I've seen in years was the whiny face,
yes,
that Hoskins delivered to McNeil from the dugout, that is now obviously going to be a good trending thing now.
It was awesome. Yeah. What do you got on Reese, how well he handled yesterday and today, for that matter, getting thrown behind him?
Isn't it stunning? I just, that's the other thing. I've been around a long time. I've seen a lot of stuff, especially from this team, and a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, you know, with the collisions and the rule changes and that. I can't put my finger on a guy that I remember that has held their composure not only once, but twice. I mean, the fact that he was clearly thrown at tonight, and he barely moved from his spot outside of the batter's box, didn't charge anybody, didn't point at anybody, didn't even do that yesterday. He laid on the ground because he heard McNeil barking at him right away, and he's like, all right, get it out of your system, man, because I'm going to get up, I'm not going to look at you, and I'm going to the dugout because this is stupid. And I'm sure he thought the same thing today. I've got three hits against you guys, including a home run. You had your chance. We're up big right now, and now you're throwing at me. What are you doing? So if I'm him, I'm saying, hey, you guys have made two bonehead decisions or choices here, and I'm not going to be a part of it. And not a lot of guys can handle that. Mm-hmm. And obviously, we don't know Reese real well yet. Mm-hmm. We're getting to know him pretty well, but we're seeing something develop here pretty nicely, not only with the relationship that he's going to have, but how he's going to influence the young guys.
We'll wrap the point on this before we take a break. Bally Sports Wisconsin showed a great shot before Reese's at bat. Pat Murphy coming over, you know, put hand over mouth, and we can only assume what he said, but it had to be something along the lines of, be ready here. This might be the moment, because I already talked about Ron Darling's comments saying, like, oh, it was 2 hours too late, which I think he's absolutely right. I wouldn't throw with Luis Severino at him. And Ron Darling was trying to say, oh, you brush him back and then that's the end of it. No, I think that would have festered a little bit. The fact that, look, you're bringing in a young arm, Johan Ramirez, who's kind of been around the block. You can kind of see it come like, this might be the moment. The game's starting to get out of hand and this might be the moment. And Pat Murphy had the presence to come over to Reese and, like, hey, man, be ready. I'm really impressed. Pat Murphy, game two, he was already ready to go in that situation.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, though, that's part of, and I know you've been going through this for the last 6 weeks at spring training, but when you get questions of, can Pat Murphy handle these decisions? Can he handle making the right choices on the major league level? He doesn't have a lot of major league managerial experience, but we all argue, if you're smart enough to know that a guy's been around the game for 40 some years on the college level of coaching and making major decisions, it's not like this guy doesn't know what decisions to make, what to say to certain players in certain situations throughout the game. It's in his blood. It's in his skin. It's in his brain. It's in his hair. You can just tell. And that was a real key moment that I thought that we captured on video of a manager being a manager and making sure his players understand every key situation there is. Because if they don't and something happens, then it's the manager's fault. And the manager can accept blame, you know that, Dom, but they want to, more than anything, have their guys prepared at the highest level.
It's going to be a very, very fun year, getting to know Pat Murphy and seeing what makes him tick. And, man, he's already got benches clearing in two games into this one. So what's the rest of the year going to hold?
I love it.
Let's actually start talking about the game. We'll get that into – we'll start into Christian Yelich. We'll start talking about the defense and maybe a little bit of a new wrinkle that the Brewers are trying to throw out a little bit more. I'll get to that in just a moment. 855-616-1620 if you want to join us. Again, 855-616-1620. That is the talk and text line if you want to join the show. More with Craig Kishon after this on WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
We're back for more. Craig Kishon is here. I'm Dom Catronio. Brewers are 2-0. They win today 7-6, and yesterday 3-1. So let's actually start talking about the game itself here, right? This was a game that the Brewers came out, punched in the mouth quickly. Three runs in the first inning. Obviously the Boo Birds with Reese after everything that went down yesterday. But lost in the shuffle is a really, really strong first inning from the Brewers' bats. William with an infield hit. That might get switched to an error. Yelly swinging a hot bat to start the year. And Willie actually started the scoring. Adames, that is, pulling a double down a left field line. It's a reminder that Adames in this lineup, you know, they can contribute without hitting home runs all the time. Obviously Reese connected later, but this might be the more MO of the Brewers, consistent hits and, you know, pass the baton kind of way, right?
Yeah, I think that's something that Vinny and I talked about on the TV side post game. You know, you look at this final score of 7-6, and, you know, even Vin said this, that we may see more scoring like this, and I think maybe we kind of all anticipated that. The offense has definitely been boosted up now over what it has been the last several years. So you would expect this team to score 5, 6, 7 runs a game potentially, and obviously we saw that today. Now, do they win 7-2 like maybe we thought they were going to, and that was a score in the eighth inning? Certainly not the case, because the pitching still needs to, you know, bring it up and learn some things along the way, and I think the offense just needs to continue to protect them as best as possible. So, but the early runs, I mean, That was awesome to see, because you saw Adames get in the mix, and then you saw Hoskins first pitch, you know, RBI, two RBI single to end that scoring in the first inning. So it's going to be something to see how these veteran guys feel a little bit more comfortable in new roles. You know, Dom, with Reese being here for the first time, Willie now has better protection, I think, in the spot that he's in. I just feel like he's got to be a little more comfortable knowing Contreras and Yelich are ahead of him, and then whatever one of the rookies is leading off, it seems like. So I'm kind of liking what I'm seeing with the mix going on right now.
This tweet made me smile from friend of the program, Mr. Cody. The tweet goes like this from Cody. First time, long time. Can you confirm or deny that Yelich is in fact back? I'll take my answer off here. Thanks. So Cody is on the Brewers video team and does great talent with their social content. One of the guys that has a giant camera on his shoulder. But Cody, first two games, man, I'm with you, man. That's a great sign. I think the biggest sign for me, not only was it a left-on-left home run yesterday for Yelly, but he pulled it. And we haven't seen a lot of pulled home runs from Yelly the last few years. That was, I'm not going to overreact two games in, but we've 111 off the bat today, too. There's a lot to see and like from a healthy Christian Yelich right now.
Well, I mean, you go back to last year, and he made it. His whole game was improved last year compared to the previous couple of seasons where it was just really tough for him for whatever reason. And I'll say this. I'll bring this up to you, and I'm kind of interested in your take on this. For some reason, that comment that Pat Murphy made yesterday about putting Churio not only in the lineup to make his major league debut in the opener, but putting him at the top of the lineup, going to Christian Yelich and saying, am I crazy for thinking about doing this? And Yelich said, why not? Do it. Let's put him in there. He's earned it. He can handle it. And Murph goes, okay, we're in. Just the fact that Murph goes to Yelich for that, I just look at this, not without knowing 100%, but I got to believe that maybe Christian Yelich might feel a little more comfortable this season with some change, some major change that has taken place. I'm not sure if he's going to be a guy that's going to be allowed to have a voice. Maybe that wasn't the case in the past. I'm not saying that I know all that stuff, but I feel like these are some of the little subtle messages that are going on here right now. And just the fact that Christian had a great spring, welcoming in, you know, Murph, all the new guys, there could be something to that just to be back to, you know, you have to be comfortable to succeed. And if you're great, you really have to be comfortable to be great and stay at that level, MVP type.
Yeah, he's, you know, we don't know if MVP Yelly's ever going to come back. But if Miami Yelly comes back like we saw last season, if he repeats another season like he had last year, a 270-plus average, an 850-plus OPS while stealing 25, 30 bags, hitting 40 doubles, and maybe hitting 20, 25 homers, this team's going to be super successful. And I think Yelich understands that he doesn't need to carry the load because he's got help around him. And games like today, right, where he didn't necessarily, you know, tear the cover off the ball aside from that last at-bat with the RBI single in the eighth. You know, a couple flyouts, a couple groundouts, 2 for 5. There's nothing wrong with that. He handed the baton to Rhys Hoskins today. And then maybe tomorrow it'll be Willie. And then maybe the next day it'll be William Contreras. Like, there's depth in this lineup. And this is something that Brewers fans kind of haven't seen since maybe 2018, where you can legitimately say, okay, the next guy I'm in, next guy I'm in, next guy I'm in. 18-19 reminds me of those offenses where it's like, okay, between Aggie and between Braun and between Yelich and then between Kane and then, like, okay, There's some line here. There's a little bit of a vision of, okay, this could be a really tough lineup to get through.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is just the importance of knowing what your eighth inning at bat means, and when the game's 6-2. Well, I got a guy out there. I'm gonna get another single and bring him home. And it turns out before the game's over, that was the decisive RBI in the run.
I don't want to spend too long here, but I do want to quickly pivot here. A guy that I haven't said his name once today is DL Hall. And DL Hall, you look at the line: 4 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs earned, a homer, 2 walks, 1 strikeout, and also a hit batter. But I only 73 pitches, only 3 whiffs. I'm sure there were jitters. He just admitted that to the writing press there in New York. There's two ways I look at it. If this is the starting point, sign me up. I'm ready to see how he can grow. And the second part of it is I want to make sure DL has a few of these where, yeah, the line doesn't look pretty, but then you tell people, okay, well, you could see the curve's close. He was missing on a few pitches here and there. Yes, he only had one strikeout. But what I see is uncomfortable swings. I see ground balls. I see the home run by Alvarez, and I give my hat, my tip my hat to Alvarez, but I think this is a great starting point for DL Hall personally.
I liked it a lot. I liked what I saw a lot. And look, four innings, I'm not even looking at that right now because what inning was it that it was it the fourth or third inning?
Third inning.
That he got a couple of outs and then struggled, what, 20 pitches to get that third out. Mm-hmm. Who knows if he would have gone a little bit deeper after that. Doesn't matter here at this point. I saw a lot of poise. I didn't see a guy who admittedly was nervous. I understand that he was. I would have expected him to be. But I didn't see signs of nervousness. I didn't see signs of, I'm not sure if I belong in this Brewer rotation. I'm not sure if I'm feeling too much pressure. I was traded for Corbin Burns. I didn't see any of that. I saw a guy from our side saying, we gave up Corbin Burns to get this guy and one more. But, I mean, it was to get another high-profile, high-ceiling left-handed pitcher. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of good things. I thought it was a tremendous building block for him today. I really did.
No one's dominant in their first year.
No.
It's very rare to be dominant. Look at Burns' first year. Look at Woodruff and Peralta starting to get their footing.
Yep.
This is the starting point. I can't wait to see him grow and blossom as we get to know him a little bit more. Craig, you're back on the program, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow. It's great to be talking ball with you again,
my friend.
All right,
pal, you got it. Have a good one.
All right, Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. We're going to hear from the skipper, Pat Murphy, coming up next. I'll get to a couple of these texts as well, 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620 right here on the home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
You're listening to Brewers Extra Innings, presented by Fifth Third Bank on WTMJ.
Get to a few of these texts, and we'll hear from the manager here for a little bit after these. This one from Aaron in Illinois. Great start to the 2024 season. Really like seeing Churio up to start the season. Excited to see what he's capable of doing. And Uribe's been pretty good so far. Can't fault him for giving up the homer to Alonso. Now, what's the time frame, though, on Garrett Mitchell? Go Crew. Appreciate the text there, Aaron. Garrett is out 6 to 8 weeks. He is traveling with the team. It's a fracture in his hand. We will know more on Tuesday when we get the chance to talk to him face-to-face. He will be around the team during all of this. Mike in Colorado, good to have you back here on the program, Mike. Fabulous beginning to the 2024 season. Already can see how this team will be different from recent previous years. I think Pat Murphy's Brewers will be more energized, tougher, and spontaneous than under prior leadership. The blend of youth and veteran maturity is going to make for a surprising and successful season. Appreciate the text there, Mike. Let's hear from the skipper, the rookie manager, Pat Murphy.
He is one of our pillars. You know, we keep saying that, but Reese is a special dude, man. He's not just a really good baseball player, and he's really committed to playing the game the right way, and he's really committed to leading. Him and Yelly and Adamas and William, you know, Devin Williams, Woody, Miley, those are the right guys to have at the forefront of your team.
Murph, did you come into today maybe expecting a little something from the Mets for Reese, and then when that happened in the seventh inning, can you share what you talked to the umps about there? I'm assuming.
Yeah, it's just really simple. You know, and a player has a history with the team, and you've been, if you're watching MLB Channel, which I just happen to keep on, and all of a sudden, you know, balls are going over his head, and, you know, there's a history there, and we had an altercation the day before, and one goes over his head, albeit, I bet it wasn't on purpose, you know, I bet it wasn't, but I'm trying to protect the guy, like, you know what, I didn't suggest they throw him out of the game. I just said, hey man, we gotta take hold of this. I don't want people getting hurt.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the whole thing. We can all be mad and we can all have our opinions of how you play the game and all that. And we can all have that. But the bottom line is I don't want guys getting hurt. You know, I thought the umpires did a great job of handling it. I don't know that I would have thrown him out of the game, but they have their own protocol that I don't obviously understand.
So you didn't think that there was intent?
I don't think so.
First pitch he sees, two-run single. A couple innings later, long at bat, two-run homer. Is there a certain, like, are guys born with that? Do you kind of respond in those moments when they're all the attention's on them and to deliver big hits like that?
I don't think you're born with that. No. I don't think you're born with that. I think you develop that over time in the game, learning the game the right way and competing the right way and understanding what competition really is and how you compete. You know, and when you let your emotions run that, then you're not going to be a great competitor. You may feel like a great competitor. You may feel fierce that you want to fight and you want to do all that, but that's not competing. Competing is being in the moment and understand, allowing yourself to not let the emotion of the game run your performance. So that's my opinion anyways. That could be argued, I'm sure, by better, more wise people.
Or 16 hits today for the offense. How nice was it to see the production up and down the lineup?
Yeah, I'm pleased with some guys, and some guys are not having great at bats yet, but I'm excited. Guys are staying with it, you know, understanding how tough it is to win a Major League Baseball game, and when you look at their lineup, it's daunting. You know, I mean, they have a great lineup, experience, speed, power. That the heavy set kid that hits in the middle of the lineup, man, that dude can hit.
They can all hit. And Alonzo, that was a heck of a swing off of 100 miles an hour at the top of the zone. We'll get into the highlights coming up next as we're getting near the end of our show here at the top of the hour. Stay with us. This is Brewers Extra Innings.
Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get up!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Let's get after it, shall we? After all the fireworks of opening day and, you know, on-the-field fireworks with a controversial slide from Rhys Hoskins, ready to play ball once again today on Saturday. New Met coming across off of Manhattan Bridge, I should say. Luis Severino getting the start against the Brewers. Things got off the rails quickly for Severino. An infield single for William Contreras. Christian Yelich stoinked the single. First and second and one out. Willy Adames at the plate.
Looks back at Contreras at second and the 1-1. Line down the left field line. This is going to get down. Should score Contreras as he's jogging around third and headed for home. On his way to third is Yelich, and into second with an RBI double is Willy Adames.
Lane Grindle on the call here on WTMJ. 1-0 Brewers. In fact, the next batter, they were not done. Coming up, two batters later, I should say. Rhys Hoskins with the Boo Birds at his back. Hey, they don't boo nobody.
Severino's first pitch. Ground ball past the bag at third and off the tarp and kicks into left. Yelich is home. Here comes Adames. He will score. Rhys Hoskins with a two-run single, and the Brewers lead it 3-0.
And if they were booing, they weren't done booing. Two innings later, his second at-bat.
Severino's 2-2. Hit deep, deep to left field. Backing up Nimmo, turning, watching it sail. Goodbye! Rhys Hoskins has made a statement at Citi Field.
At one point, he was 3-for-3 in the game. It's 5-2 as we fast forward. D.L. Hall done for the day. Four innings, two runs. He had a no decision in his Brewers debut. We fast forward now to the seventh inning, and finally, the fireworks, if you will, that we were expecting to see maybe earlier in the game, finally showed up with Johan Ramirez.
The pitch. Whoa, over his head to the backstop on the fly. Up to second goes Adames. Hoskins drops the bat, puts his hands on his hips, and stares at Johan Ramirez, who walks towards him.
Johan Ramirez would be ejected. Eventually, Rhys would draw a walk, and hopefully, that's all put to bed now. But the Brewers weren't done scoring. In the eighth inning, the captain, Christian Yelich.
0-2 pitch. Line drive back up the middle and into center field for a base hit. Frelick will trot home. Contreras stops at second. It's an RBI single for Yelich, his second hit of the day. And the Brewers' lead grows to 7-2.
111 off of the bat for Yelich. Then a rare misstep by the Brewers' bullpen. A three-run homer by Brett Beatty off of Hobie Milner. And then Pete Alonso hit a homer off of Abner Uribe. That made it a one-run game. In the bottom of the ninth inning, Uribe ready to go.
Slider's been good as well. 2-2 pinch. Slider, swing and a miss! He struck him out! Abner Uribe stares into the Mets' dugout, collecting his second save in as many days, and the Brewers have taken the Mets' first two games of the 2024 season.
Lane Grindle's call, that was the final. The Brewers win 7-6. We'll wrap up the program after this on WTMJ. Final minute of the show here. We'll get to the last couple texts. Another Dom texting in from La Crosse. Biggest takeaways that the team to produce runs, they have for our team to produce runs like we did in Game 2 and the pitch the way we did in Game 1, we have many different ways to win this year compared to some years prior. Question is, which first or second year player do you think will make the biggest impact in terms of winning games? That's a very, very good question. As I mull on this for a moment, I'm going to go ahead and say Bryce Terang, because how much he is going to play second base has been made clear. He's going to play a lot of second base. He's going to steal a lot of bags. And if he can continue to be a table setter for guys like Jackson Churio and Sal Frelick, he could be scoring a lot of runs by the end of the season. We've got another program for you tomorrow after the game. Same time, same place. First pitch will be at 12:40 Central Time. Coverage begins at 12:05 right here on 620 WTMJ. Monday is an off day, and then it's the home opener. Coverage wall-to-wall on Tuesday right here on your home of the Brewers, WTMJ. My thanks to Evan Witalison for producing today's show and for Craig Kishon for joining us. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.